picture of your face. Hey, little girl, don't you realize you've still got damn discretion too bad. Yeah, you're too rude. Every man he wants you. Yeah, you're too bad. Cause you're too rude. Every man I speak, he says he wants you. Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, and have a wonderful rest of your week. See you next week. Goodbye.
Me too.
I think just like the amount of time it had been made me a little bit concerned, and also a lot of the features and the lead single, all the recent features that Travis had been doing, as well as the lead single to this album, neither of which were, none of those had really been that impressive to me. And so I was expecting this album to feel less Travis Scott-y and to just kind of feel like a release from Travis Scott, but not feel like a Travis Scott album. And what we got is a Travis Scott album that doesn't sound Travis Scott-y, but in a very good way, and is actually just showing that like Travis Scott is more than psychedelic trap. That he can he can make more types of music. He can diversify and he can do it extremely well. And the big thing that I want to point out immediately about this album was that a lot of these songs, not every song, but a lot of these songs are solo produced by Travis. He's not like, there's
which
not
is
like
a shift,
four or
it's
five
a shift
people
from Astroworld. I think in Astroworld he only did like 20% of it. Yeah, like this is his hands are more on the production of this album. And I think the production is the right place to start, honestly. If you don't mind me going forward, I think that, like, as you said, we kind of discussed it. I thought that there was a chance we could be disappointed, not only because like Travis Scott seems to just not, he's kind of like Drake on features. Like he's just kind of asleep at the wheel, it's felt like. And, and also obviously the Astroworld disaster was still like kind of in the air. I didn't know how that was going to affect him, if he was going to change anything up, and he definitely did. This album is far more stripped. It doesn't have like the booming synthy psychedelic like Astroworld with all the harmonic synths and kind of like the just like the classic Travis Scott sound. This is far more stripped, way more dark, way more sullen. And I definitely like this direction. It still sounds like Travis Scott. Like every song is still like a sonic soundscape that's constantly changing. Like almost every song is over 4 minutes. There's beat switches on like every song. There's like three songs over 6 minutes. It's still Travis Scott, but I love that. At first I hated the production. I was like, why is it so stripped?
It's not even that stripped though.
Well, just compared to like Rodeo and Days Before Rodeo and even Astroworld, where you just like expect like Travis Scott to have
Rodeo.
These...
Rodeo's pretty stripped too. Astroworld, I feel like, is very lush and very rich.
Yeah, and it sounds
Rodeo
80s
has
and...
Rodeo has quite a few songs that are pretty stripped.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of like Days Before Rodeo and like Quintana and the song with the 1975, which are just like lush, like you said, and super harmonic. But this is different. This doesn't have like the crazy like top end. Like the top end of the production on this is there's less top end and more focus on the bottom end in this record than I was expecting. But I think that it works incredibly well. It changes the whole vibe of the album. And it's just Travis Scott again kind of changes his style for another record, which is something I didn't think he had in him, honestly. I really thought that he might be washed. His features hadn't been good. He'd been dealing with a lot of things personally, but I have been blown away by this record, dude. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I wouldn't call it... I don't think it's as stripped as you're calling it. I think like a song like Fiend, which I've been really enjoying, I feel like it could slip on Astroworld and it would still fit in there. Like, I still feel like that's a pretty fuller, rich instrumental. But then you also have like a Hyena, the introduction track, which is just in like industrial hip hop.
Yeah, same with Modern Jam.
Yeah, Modern Jam. Opening three songs. Mm-hmm. Those are all pretty stripped songs and just very different for him. And I really liked that it was different, but it was different and it was still like very well done. Along with the production, it is something that like immediately stood out to me on the first listen and just becomes more and more apparent. It's just how Kanye West inspired so much of this album is. There's been a lot of comparisons made to this and Yeezus, which I think is a pretty appropriate
comparison,
especially for a song like Circus Maximus, where the drums on that song are the same drums as on Black Skinhead from Yeezus, which is, like, I mean, I don't know if they're the exact same, but they are so freaking similar that they might as well be.
He has production from like one of Kanye's buddies has produced this.
Yeah, Noah.
Is Travis Scott and Noah Goldstein? Those guys.
Noah Goldstein's around on this project in a few places.
That's like a Kanye protege.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. But so Travis is also a Kanye protege, and one of his big breaks as a producer was working on Yeezus. So the Yeezus influence in that sense is like it doesn't feel as much as like a ripoff for me when you're kind of taking a sound that you already worked with before. It feels less of a ripoff.
No, yeah, I don't think it's a ripoff at all because you have Travis Scott's rap on top of it. And that's something that I think he's doing more in this album than any other record is just straight up rapping.
Yeah, and I do.
Like there's no singing from him anymore.
And it's not just the beats. Like on Sirens and God's Country, there's points where like the sounds he's making with his mouth, like he'll finish a line and he'll put an inflection on the word that just makes him sound like Kanye West to me.
Yeah. Like
out in God's country with the fam, and the inflection he puts on the fam and on the end of like a lot of the lines in the song just sounds like Kanye. Like he's doing a Kanye impression.
No, this is definitely an album that has Kanye, like his inspiration is worn on his sleeve. Like Travis Scott even drops his like his ad-libs are gone. Like the It's Lit and the Flirt.
They're there, just not as much.
I think they're only on one song.
No, they're not.
How many songs are there? I only heard three ad-libs.
Wait, okay. Well, he still uses them.
Yeah, but they're just like not on every song like they used to.
Yeah, they're just not as common. Break.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that you and I talked about how much hinged on Utopia, not for Travis, but also just for hip hop in general. And I think this album is far more hip hop than any of his previous records, just because of how much he's flat out rapping, and. It's still like a spatial psychedelic record, but it's definitely more, like you said, like industrial. That's the perfect, that's the correct adjective for this. It's more industrial. It's definitely more hip hop. And I think this is really what the genre needed for one of like its.
Like a mainstream like, rap album comes out and is good.
Yeah. And it's largely
like that's
rap.
That's really what the genre needs.
Yeah. It's not something like, good. Like Heroes and Villains, where the big song is like kind of a pop record. Like this album is all rap and it's all really good rap. And I think that this is going to be, I haven't seen anyone really dislike the record, to be honest.
No.
I mean, this, I think that this is almost as good as Astroworld, if not as good. It is so good. It is, it's at, like, it's so layered. And that's something that I didn't know if Travis Scott was still going to do, was just the constant beat switching, the layers, like the, he brings in synths randomly and the features are all really good. And the features, like, I think only like some of the features don't even have their own verse. They're just like harmonizing with him. Like Kid Cudi's only on the song for like 15 seconds at the very end.
He's rapping, he's performing, but not, mm-hmm. it's not long.
But I mean, I just think everything, like this is the first time where I've heard where Travis Scott, or this is the first time in a long time where I think that Travis Scott is the top dog on tracks he's had with other big artists. Mm.
That's a good point.
Like, for example, I think that, like, I mean, even, like, what's,
like what you, I think what you're trying to get at is on, like, previous albums, like, Travis Scott has been a director.
Yeah.
He's putting people in their places to sort of enhance the songs, and songs will have, like, one or two, like, often have, like, two features, so you got, like, three voices on the whole song. And so, like, he's a director, and he's kind of putting the stuff together. But yeah, there's still a lot of like two feature songs, but it is.
Yeah, but like for example, more, Circus Maximus,
that's it, like is the, more like him holding his own on his own songs by himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is
something that he doesn't always do that well.
No, and I feel like he hasn't done for a while. And I think that he's just like, it's just proof that he hasn't really been trying that hard. Like, for example, on Circus Maximus, this is the first song I've heard in a long time where The Weeknd is present and he's not like the quarterback of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Like Travis Scott's part is great and it's kind of what you're there for. And that hasn't been the case when The Weeknd's on a record for like the last like 3.5-4 years. Yeah, but like Travis Scott has that in his arsenal. Like he can be as good. Like, for example, you were telling me how much you enjoyed the second half of My Eyes. Like he is just straight up spitting. Like I haven't heard him spit in like, possibly ever.
Yeah, I would put ever.
Like that, like, and that's something I just didn't think he had anymore. Like, I haven't, like, he just, my expectations were completely blown out of the water, not for the record in general, like, mostly just for his performances. What I knew that the production was going to be amazing, the features were going to bring their A game. I didn't expect for Travis Scott to be this good on the album. And maybe that's my own skepticism of him, but he just blew me away. Like this is really his record with everyone else on it.
I do want to say though is that as far as lyrics themselves are concerned on this album, like I don't think they're that good. Like I don't, the writing itself on this song, he's not talking about much. It's like this album's pretty strictly atmosphere, in my opinion, atmosphere and vibe, and
yeah,
like really, like it's very well put together, it's very well constructed and very well produced, but in terms of what he's saying or like lyrical, like in like lyrical focus and topics for songs
and ingenuity, yeah, excluding the Drake verse,
there's not much there. Yeah, Drake's got like a focused verse.
Where he's like shooting shots at people. Mm-hmm. But like Travis Scott, like I thought that
you don't go to Travis for like
hard. No, but I still thought he was good. Like I thought this was better than his songs kind of went into. I thought the rapping was kind of more diverse. The things that he was gonna bring, where he brings up driving in LA in the snow. Or shooting the baby.
I don't think he's driving like, in it.
Well, remember when how
he
much
says snow? He doesn't mean snow.
But snowed in LA, like a lot.
He's not talking about snow though.
Well, I mean, but like he's kind of branching alluding into aspects of life I didn't expect him to branch into.
He's talking about cocaine though.
I mean, yeah, but like it also was like, remember it snowed like 2 feet in LA and. In the beginning of the year. In the and if he's mentioning that, that's really cool. Or when he talks about shooting DaBaby like shooting people, yeah, like
there's good one-liners. There's good one-liners.
Yeah, or like the Kylie Jenner eye thing that you and I had saw. Like, there's some good one-liners in here that I didn't really expect from him to. Because usually he just talks about like this crazy life he's living, the wealth, the drugs, the women, the parties. He's like, I feel like there's more clever one-liners. He branches into more aspects of life. He talks about, like you said, Tom Brady and Messi. Like I didn't expect that from him. And that's another thing that I enjoyed, even though, yes, the lyrical, like in general, the lyrics are shallow, but that's kind of his thing. And I think that's why he is so popular, though. Because when your lyrics aren't insanely deep, more people can enjoy them just for what they are. And I do think he added a little bit to it, but it's still like Travis Scott and as good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as for the features, I think all the features are great. Drake's verse is awesome. I mean, Playboi Carti does his thing. I'm not the biggest fan of like Vamp Carti.
I enjoy Fiend. I like it. It's one of my favorite songs on the album. I love the production. I love Cardi's chorus where he's just yelling Fiend. And it's one word, but it just scratches my brain the right way, I guess. It just hits. And then his actual verse is
kind of okay. He's got some lame. Cool inflection on his voice.
Yeah, kind of lame. But I like how it gets interrupted by the chorus a few times. I think that's like interesting to have happen.
I definitely prefer like the Playboi Carti that's present on the Weeknd Madonna song. Like baby voice.
That's more normal.
Yeah, I like that Playboi Carti. But like Vamp Carti definitely has its place. And I like that he's on this record though. I do like that Playboi Carti is here. I'm shocked that Don Toliver's not here though. That's something that I really thought would be there. But the features are great.
How many Cactus Jack associates?
No. No Sheck West. Which is fine with me. But
hey, no, there is Sheck West. There's Sheck West on Fiend.
What? Where? Yeah,
he says like two words.
Oh, that's like Sampa. Sampa says like a few words across the record.
Why doesn't Zoom tell you how long you've been recording for?
Anyways,
Anyway, do you want to
talk about
some
tracks? Or maybe we should talk about, do you want to dissect it?
I think we need to play a song.
All right, well, should we play Fiend? You've been talking about Fiend. I think we should play.
I want to play My Eyes.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my That's one of my favorites.
Oh, right. I had a take on the song.
Yeah, Telekinesis, because that's my favorite song. Telekinesis is my favorite song on the record. It's a 6-minute song. It's just like
Future and SZA.
It's like crooning on it. Future too. It's not rapping Future. It's like when Future's crooning, which is my favorite kind of Future.
Yeah, no, Future, I like Future's part, just the way he says, my bro cook up dope, it take real skill. Mm. There's something so sad about the way he says that. Just sad.
I love SZA's part.
Sad about the life. SZA's part is, my one issue with it, and this is the take, is I don't really enjoy listening to it that much.
Wow.
And the reason why is because I think like the audio quality itself of her voice.
Damn, you think the mix is bad?
Off, and I think she's mixed too high. Like when she comes in, it's so loud.
Yeah, but that is true. But they also add like this crazy
it does kind
horn
of sound,
section.
It does sound like an angel coming down from heaven and like singing to the masses on earth or whatever.
Yeah, I that's like my favorite part, because he does say, can you hear the trumpets? Do you like the way it sounds or something like that? And then she shows up with like this chorus of horns.
I just think
I personally love that part.
I just think it's like too loud compared to the rest of the song. And I feel like I don't feel like the audio quality itself of her recorded voice is that good either.
That's fair.
Like it just doesn't sound as good. So that's my gripe, is more of a production gripe than
fair. Actual, what is your favorite content? Song on the record, or what's your top three right now? Because obviously it's going to change as time goes by.
It's probably, it's My Eyes, and then some combination of like Modern Jam. I do like Meltdown and Fiend. I don't know, there's not, besides like My Eyes, I don't feel like there's been a clear hierarchy to this for me yet.
I definitely
with Kid Cudi, I like just how it sort of lulls you to sleep, and then Cudi comes in real hard. West Side Gun's feature is very fun, but Lost Forever is not one of
my favorite songs. Do you like K-pop? Do you like the main single?
I like it more in the album.
Yeah, than on its own. Me too.
But,
That's like my third favorite. That one's tied for Circus Maximus. I would go Telekinesis, My Eyes, and then K-pop / Circus Maximus. And then Del Resto is not far behind that.
Oh, yeah, Del Resto. You know, I mean, K-pop is kind of a song built for Hugh Dana, though, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, kind of.
It's got The Weeknd and Bad Bunny on it. Like, come on. That's crack for you.
Dude, I also really want to point out that I really like the Dave Chappelle inserts.
I don't even notice where Dave Chappelle comes. Oh,
that's him speaking, where he's like, I fall, I get back up, I fall. And that's something I really wanted to hear. I wanted to know how Travis Scott dealt with kind of blood being on his hands, almost kind of the crowd crush of Astroworld and kind of his festival kind of being forever canceled. And I really like that Dave Chappelle, like that classic Dave Chappelle line of, I fall, I get back up, I fall, I get back up, I fall, I get back up. And then later where he's like, I fight for everything I love and I love everything I fight for. That's like, I feel like that kind of fed the part of me that was interested in how he was dealing with that, because obviously he was absolutely scorched for his apology video. And then he kind of went silent for a long time. Like, I don't think he released any music since then. Like, was Escape Plan and Mafia?
Those were before.
And I think that those were going to be on the next record. I think he scrapped everything.
And I'm glad they're not.
Yeah.
Those songs are also part of the reason why I wasn't excited about it.
Exactly. Like, those are not very good songs. I'm not going to lie. Like, was Highest in the Room after Astroworld?
It was immediately after.
Like, I wasn't even a fan of that Highest in the Room, I'm not gonna lie.
No, that song was, it was just there. It was another helping
dude. That song was almost 2 billion streams, which is insane,
because he was capitalizing on the hype of his.
Is it on Astroworld? It's not, is it?
No, it's not. It's just a single. It's just a song that exists.
But anyways, let's play My Eyes, because My Eyes is like the coolest song on the record. I think.
Yeah,
like the Frank Ocean inspired first half. I thought Frank Ocean was on this song.
What you weren't alone in that.
Yeah, what he did with his how he modulated his voice, and kind of how he rapped. He almost rapped like Frank Ocean, and then the transition is like a classic Travis Scott transition, just like speeding up, making it airy, and then bringing it back together.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's listen to My Eyes.
Sweep up cases. Going on a walk. up with a new suit armor, new suit dimpo, take it at sauna. Humidity from a sleep in a armor, Cupid creeping to sleep with a armor. 3 times gave me TNT, still same phone, AT&T, still getting news very vividly. Beefing up, beef, smoking those ambitious every reef. Honey, don't be no G, yeah. Even when they eat, they cheat, yeah. Every time we meet, naive.
In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flagship event, the Strong Sessions, for the fifth time. All Strong Sessions feature a variety of musicians with disabilities, paired with established local artists and bands. Each month until September this year, VAMS will be releasing the performances from our 2022 show on the Reimagine Radio YouTube channel, where you can also find past Strong Sessions content. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Hello, this is Tony Bardock of the Little Guitar Arming, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Okay.
Transition to Post Malone. His next record, I believe this is his, also his, is, I think this is his sixth record, Austin, the self-titled record, no features. Definitely, I mean.
This is his fifth.
Okay, it's also his fifth record.
Doesn't matter that much.
But... it doesn't matter. Like, it's five or six, and it's the self-titled record. There's no features. You and I talked about how after 12 Karat Toothache, which only dropped a year ago, how could Post Malone continue? Like, we didn't think he could just keep making that, like, pop that was, like, kind of still hip-hop, but not really. And he almost had a complete 180, and transition to this completely stripped, almost acoustic, folk country rock pop record.
There's nothing country about this.
I mean, there's a lot of acoustic guitar and just drums, which is,
yeah, that's true,
right? But like
it's this album is just pop. It's just pop to me. There's no,
okay, I think this is close to country, and like the people I know, my friends who are not country people, disliked this record because they thought it was too country. That's why, okay, I bring that up. There's like the first record or the first song, the intro track, which is literally just him and an acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. Which I actually really like that song.
It is good. The presence of an acoustic guitar though doesn't make the song country.
No. It would be the presence of an acoustic guitar and the certain kind of drums and the, but anyways, I love this record. I think this record is really good. I like that it's just him. I think that it's something, I think it's really cool when you can have like 17 songs. Like, I don't think there's a bad song on this record until Texas Tea. Like the first like dozen songs on this album, I think are really good. I don't think it's as good as Utopia. I don't think the ceiling is as high just because it's stripped. There's like less contribution. It's just him. But I think the floor is like, this is like the floor of this record is one of the highest floors I think I've ever listened to. Like just first listen, just there's just track after track where I was like, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is good.
Yeah.
No, I would love to hear your input because obviously you don't devour pop the way that I devour pop. What's your take? Because I know that you also didn't really like the last Post Malone record.
No, I remember just not caring that much when I was listening to it. For this one, like, it's good. It's definitely not bad music by any stretch of the imagination. But for me, like you said, like, the ceiling on this album is not that high. And that's just sort of a thing with this style of music for me. Is like the floor is super high. Anyone can listen to this album and enjoy enough of it. You know, like it's like if you're grading this, like if it was a school assignment, you know, you could give it, it's not going to score lower than a 70, but it's not going to score higher than like
85,
than like an 86.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, like, it's enjoyable, it's fine, but I don't know. I'm just not that invested in this type of music, to be honest.
That's fair. I think that a lot of people would agree with you. I mean, another reason I really like this record so much is just how different it is from the first two Post Malone records, which are like... Like, Beer Bongs and Bentleys is probably my favorite Post Malone album. And that one is, like, super hip-hop. And mm-hmm. Stoney is, like, full-blown hip-hop. I mean, he kind of came in fully swinging. Like, he had Justin Bieber. He had Justin Bieber, Quavo on his first album. Like, that's kind of insane. But he is that good. I think that I just like the develop. Like, I think it's pretty linear. Just like knowing, like kind of researching him more and knowing what he likes. I like that he kind of eventually turns into an artist who makes the kind of music that he really loved when he was growing up, which is like kind of like My Chemical Romance and Green Day. And I like that he can do something like that now because he started from White Iris. And like you said, the first Post Malone mm-hmm. song I ever heard was like White Iris and Go Flex or Congratulations. And that is like a complete 180 from something like Don't Understand or Something Real, which is like one of my favorite off the record, The Expanse of Something Real. Obviously, Too Cool to Die is my favorite, but that's like something that's made for me.
I like Too Cool
to Die. I really like this record.
Yeah, that's something
Post Malone never disappoints.
That's something I was also thinking about a lot with listening to this album. It's just like, This is the same. This guy made Rockstar. This guy made Congratulations, which are these very hip hop adjacent trap songs.
Yeah, Rockstar. I forgot about that.
And now it's just pure pop, and it's just such a shift.
Yeah. But I think that it's totally linear for me. It's totally linear.
It is linear. Just even looking at his albums. Like, yeah. They've gotten less and less Beer Bongs and Bentleys as it's going on.
Yeah, like, and Beer Bongs and Bentleys has less hip-hop elements than Stoney. Hollywood's Bleeding has less hip-hop elements than Beer Bongs and Bentleys. 12 Karat Toothache is, like, a real pop record where it's just, like, synthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is, like, it's just him alone.
Yeah.
Like, singing about being 32 after being super successful. And I love this album. Like I said, I mean, Post Malone kind of does... His floor is always super high because he's just that good and the guys he's with are that good. And I mean, I definitely will be listening to this album. It's definitely easier to digest than Utopia, but I think I enjoy listening to Utopia more. I just like the twists and turns and the changes on Utopia. I mean, that's why we love Travis Scott, right? You never know what you're going to get with him. And that's the opposite of Post Malone. You know what you're going to get with Post Malone. You know that when you put on Austin, every song will probably be relatively catchy and relatively easy to digest and have a good chorus and be like relatively shallow.
And yeah, it's easy to digest. It's easy to digest, but it's also like, for me, comparing these two albums, like, I feel like I immediately understood the point of Utopia, of why he made that album and why
I agree
what the artistic statement it's trying to make is. And I don't want to be like overly critical.
Dude, be what you want, man. Subjective.
Something I think about when I listen to albums is just what's the point that this album's trying to make? Why does it exist? And this is just one of those albums that to me is just a collection of songs. Like he is talking about, like, on Don't Understand, feeling inadequate, and
there's a lot of talk
and
about
there is good too. Yeah, and he talks about his just drug use and like cigarettes and alcohol and Nova Candy.
Yeah,
which is a song I really like.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
But this is an album that, beyond it just being a collection of good songs, it's harder for me. Like, I can't point at why it exists.
That's fair.
But it's good. It's good. But yeah, I just couldn't really like figure out why it exists, I guess.
I mean,
what's the statement?
I definitely agree with you where there's less of an artistic statement than Utopia, but I see the statement he's trying to make. Like, the record is called Austin, it's him by himself. I think this is similar to Harry's House, where this is just the kind of music that he really wants to make. And I think that's why it came out so soon after. Like, Post Malone usually does not drop records in consecutive summers. Like, this is kind of breaking the Post Malone mold. And I think it's because this is just the kind of music that he wants to make. That's why the record's called Austin. That's why he's there alone. This is the kind of music he loves to listen to. And this is the kind of music he loves to make, similar to Harry's House. And I think that's the point of this. And I think it's just a record. It's obviously radio music and it's easy to enjoy. And that's what it's supposed to be. It's for people. It's for the masses to enjoy.
Yeah.
And obviously Utopia is far different. Utopia, Travis Scott wants to take you somewhere different. Mm-hmm. And immerse you in these crazy soundscapes with these unique voices and everything. And Austin is just like, this is the kind of music I love. Listen to this kind of music with me. And I think that's totally fair. I know that you prefer like a complex itinerary, like Utopia. And I definitely do too, but I absolutely respect and enjoy the simplicity of kind of what Austin is.
I'm also, I feel like I just kind of have a built-in bias against this sort of music because I'm kind of, I don't listen to a ton of, what am I trying to say? I don't know.
Mainstream.
I feel like I just kind of have a built-in sort of bias against this sort of music.
And what is that? Just like pop? Just like mainstream radio pop?
Yeah.
That's fine, though.
Yeah.
That's what makes this show good, man, is because I love that kind of music.
Yeah.
So we each interpret everything differently.
It doesn't move me as much.
Yeah, and it's not Morning really school. Meant to, right?
Morning's cool.
Morning is cool. I mean, I guess if we're going to talk it, I love Something Real. I love Nova Candy. I love Too Cool to Die. I think Speedometer, Hold My Breath, and Enough is Enough are all really, really good. Buyer Beware is really cool. I'm not the biggest fan of the last three, but I like how slow they are. I like when Post Malone like really goes super slow. Like my favorite Post Malone song is Reputation, and that's just him and a piano. Like I love songs like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, these are albums that are kind of, I mean, Utopia is hard to digest in just 1 week. Like I kind of need to listen to it even more. Like the more I listen to it, the more I hear and the more I enjoy it. Which Austin is not really trying to do. I think that's the point of this record, right? Is like now yeah. I need to go back and I need to hear Sheck West, or now I need to go back and find where Sampa is all over the album. And that's something I really enjoy doing. And that's like Travis Scott albums are always kind of a puzzle. But that's why he's so big and so good. And just in general for hip hop, I think that this is really big, because I mean, like you and I were talking about, like hip hop has just become bland. People are kind of, and maybe it's just like the people who digest hip hop, maybe that crowd is just not there anymore.
Well, I think really two things. One, I find it funny that I feel like you've spent half your time talking about Austin, talking about Utopia.
Well, yeah, because
it kind of says all there.
I mean, like Austin is just a record that I put on as I'm driving down the coast, right? And it just ups the vibe. Austin makes certain environments better. Utopia is something that really takes me someplace different. And it's two different albums, right? I mean, you can't really say as much about Austin as you can about Utopia. Like, we get to go on for Utopia for 4 or 5 hours, probably, which we couldn't do for Austin. And that's just the kind of music that it is.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what was I going to say? You were saying so, right? I think the other thing about just the staleness of rap is at the moment is I just don't like, just not good albums haven't been coming out. There just hasn't been as much good music coming out. I don't even know if it's got as much to do with the listener base. I guess we'll see what the ultimate impact of Utopia ends up being, but there just hasn't been that many good hip-hop albums to come out in the last few years.
I agree. I mean, and why that is a layered question. We've kind of discussed it, but I'm super curious to see how Utopia not only influences the game per se, but changes the landscape of it. Because there's no doubt that following, and Utopia will do huge numbers, just because of Travis Scott, but I also think that people are going to have to listen to it multiple times and then they'll enjoy it. And I'm curious to see how what kind of music comes from this record.
Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of people have like us thought that a lot hinged on Utopia. There hadn't been like a really huge, like this will obviously go number one. I mean, I assume I would be stunned if Austin goes number one, but I mean, it's not.
Not neither of those are the realm of possibility. Is that man Morgan Wallen still up there though? You might not be able to, no one might be able
I'm talking about album.
I know.
None of these songs have a chart topping like hit like that.
I know.
That's not what Utopia is, and I don't think that's really what Austin is.
True. I guess Morgan Wallen's probably not up there for albums anymore.
Is Morgan Wallen still on? Is it still number
one? He's up
one?
There for he's up there for Last Night. Last Night still very much up there.
Dude, I just want to point out that I said that Last Night was a really good song before it got number one.
I just want to point out that I, yeah.
Do you enjoy that? Do you remember when I said that was a good song?
Yeah, it's so pop to me.
Well,
like,
that's
not
why
a country,
it's number one on Billboard.
It's not a country song.
Exactly,
it's not a country song, and that's what bothers me about it.
That's why I like it, and that's why it's number one on Billboard, dude.
Yeah, for me, I just like I remember we were talking about it and I said that like I feel gross listening to it, and it's because it's it's a pop song with a southern accent. Like, okay, it's not country, and that's the thing that's like irking me. Is that it's not at all the genre it claims to be, in my opinion.
I mean, this is actually interesting. I just looked up the Billboard Hot 100 for this week, and for the first time ever, three country songs occupy the top three. And then number four, Fuck You Mean by Gunna.
Oh, man. What's number?
It goes one is Try That in a Small Town by Jason Aldean. Two is Last Night. Three is Luke Combs' Fast Car cover. Four is Fuck You Mean. Five is Still Calm Down by Rima and Selena Gomez.
Unreal.
Six is Cruel Summer. Seven is K-pop. Eight is Barbie World, Ice Spice, Nicki Minaj. I don't know. Nine is Seven by... This looks Jungkook. Like... Yeah.
He's one of the BTS guys.
And 10 is a Vampire. Did Vampire not go number one? I guess not.
Darn.
It couldn't surpass...
No, its peak position was one. Its peak position.
Yeah, I would have been stunned if it didn't show up at one.
Mm-hmm.
But Jungkook and Mulatto's, their song peaked at number one.
Yeah, man. The Army.
I'm shocked the Billy song isn't on here.
I'm not. It's 18.
Okay. But I mean, that's such a good song.
That song, yeah, it's really good, but it's not one of those songs that's going to go number one.
No.
It's too... Now that song is stripped. We want to talk about stripped back songs.
Yeah, dude, but it's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. Her voice is... She's angelic. That's one of my favorite Billy songs ever, if not my favorite Billy song of all time. I mean, we'll see what happens with this Travis Scott record. I assume Meltdown will be somewhere in the top 10, just because that's kind of what happens when you have Drake on a song.
Mm-hmm.
But that's crazy that country has the 1, 2, 3 spots.
Yeah.
A sign of the times. I guess. Country is kind of on the rise, I feel like.
And speaking of a sign of the times, we're going to have to wrap this little episode up here. Closing in on too long. So I think we can talk about country being the top three on the award after this.
We'll do that.
Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of Music's on the Menu. Hope you guys enjoyed our conversation. Hope you guys enjoyed the albums that have come out this week. Also want to shout out Mission's own Carly Rae Jepsen for The Loveliest Time. Pretty good album too. Yeah, that we didn't get the chance to talk about. I also didn't have the chance to listen to it enough. So it's fine that we didn't talk about it. But shout out to Mission's own Lower Mainland Kid. And you guys will hear from us next when you hear from us next. Ciao.
Bye.
Send a text after I'm gone. Hey there! Do you like sweet and sentimental stories and songs?
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're going to love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life, a sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Students of UBC, join us. Join the SSN, a collaboration between the C4 Choral Composition Club and the Music Production Club. With us, you can find someone with whom to collaborate, someone with whom to make music. All skill levels welcome. SSN@gmail.com. Reach out. Together, we can make music. Join us.
Carry it back to the lawn. expect them to turn out right. They'll never turn out wrong. I was walking through grass. Sun shining on my face. You could say my heart was broken in. But I had plenty left to say.
Yeah.
Why do I keep on thinking? Okay.
If you, it's like sitar. You read it, but C-I-T-R.
This is what my producer has to go through every week when I do my promos. It takes like 3 hours to 30-second promos. C-I-T-R.
C-I-T-R.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you should go ahead.
Yeah.
This is.